Good morning, everyone. Can you guys hear me? Can we please open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9? And we'll be reading from 9 to 13. Matthew 9, 9 to 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and he followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, and Lord, I just want to humble myself this morning, God, to be able to preach, God, whatever it is that you desire in your heart, Lord. Help me, Lord, to convey the message of your heart, God, both in the New Testament, Lord, and Old Testament as well. And Father, we open our hearts to you, God. Lord, help us, Lord, not just to change the way we act through outward modification, Lord, but really to come to you, Lord, to transform our hearts so that, Lord, we may live a life worthy of the calling that we've received, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we all know this story, right? Jesus, at this point, he's started his ministry, he started his teaching, and he started moving in and around Jerusalem, trying to basically bring his kingdom teaching to the people, and especially to the Jewish and the lost. And in this very moment, right now, what's happening is Jesus has been moving through the crowds. Basically trying to tell people, "I'm here to love, I'm here to find this the poor and the sick," and he's finally doing it, and he's finally went to sit with the tax collectors, went over to their house, and spent some time with them. And at this moment, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, seeing that Jesus is doing this, starts questioning his disciples. "Why would your leader or your rabbi and your master go and spend time with these people?" Now, for us to understand why they would ask this question, we have to understand why they hated the tax collectors in the first place. Basically, there were four main reasons why, you know, people back in the day hated tax collectors. First of all, no one likes to pay taxes. I mean, I would imagine that even in this day and age, I mean, not that we hate our government, right? But I'm sure taxes is something all of us kind of, you know, we prefer. I mean, if there were no taxes, it'd be great, right? So nobody wants to pay taxes. But more specifically, especially for the Jews, they didn't want to pay taxes to the Roman government. And the reason was because at the time, the Roman government was very, very oppressive to the Jewish people. And so for them, they were saying, first of all, we hate paying taxes, and second of all, we're paying taxes to people we hate. And so that's number one why they hated tax collectors, because they worked for this a government that they did not like. Secondly, many of the tax collectors were actually Jewish people. And so if you can imagine that sort of dynamic is, do you remember like during the war when Japan took over China, and what happened at the time, there were Chinese people who spoke Japanese, and they took these translators and they worked for the Japanese government, and these translators were hated by the Chinese, and they were saying, "How could you work for the Japanese?" And I'm not trying to make, you know, any division or anything like that, but I'm trying to draw a comparison of what these Jewish people were considered as. They were considered dogs, right? How could you be working for a government that oppresses us, oppresses, you know, our who we are, our religion, all these sort of things? And so not only did people hate paying taxes or dislike paying taxes, they dislike paying taxes to a oppressive government, and now their own people work for this government. Okay, so that's number three. That's two. A third reason is because they were tax collectors, many of these people were skimming off the top, as it were. You know what I'm trying to say, right? Like they would take tax for the Roman government, but they would pocket, you know, a little bit for themselves. And so through the years that they were working as tax collectors, they would become very, very wealthy off the backs of their brothers. And so they were cheats and liars, but not only that, the worst thing is they were cheats and liars to their own people. Okay, so that's number three why they were hated. Okay, and then number four. So let me go back to my note. Number four. That's right. Okay, Number four, they were hated not only because they were their own people. Basically, they were the ones that betrayed them to the Roman government, right? And so they were saying, basically, how could you, Jesus, eat with these people, right? They are the lowly of low. Basically, they're the betrayers. They're the people that really you should be condemning. You should be judging these people. How could you be doing this? Now, for us to understand, I think it really comes from for us to really kind of draw on what Jesus is saying, we really need to understand verse 13. And Jesus saying, but go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners. Jesus, when he says this, he's actually quoting Hosea 6:6. And so in Hosea, if we remember what's happening, Hosea is prophesying to Israel. And remember at the time, Israel was actually already quite decrepit in the way it was worshiping God. Remember, Solomon had already let in many, many different types of other worship, had diluted the Jewish faith. And so although many people were worshiping God by sacrificing, they were doing it on the high places. They were doing it in ways that God told them not to. And so when Hosea was prophesying this, he was speaking to that sort of era. He was speaking to the idea that people were doing, you know, were sacrificing to God. They were giving God what he desired, but they were doing it in a way that God didn't ask them to. And so the word that actually in Hosea, it was not, I desire compassion. The writer actually says, for I desire loyalty and not sacrifice. Actually, it's interesting because the root word, both in Matthew and Hosea, actually is just the word mercy. It's the idea of God's mercy. Okay, and so why would the writers not use mercy and use loyalty and compassion? Now, I suggest to us this is why. I think Hosea, when he was writing it, he understood what was going on at the time. He understood back in those days, Israel, the idea for them was God desired their hearts, but all they gave him was lip service. Okay? Matthew at this time understood. I actually think the reason why Jesus actually quotes Hosea 6:6, actually I think that he was giving the Pharisees and the Sadducees a kind of like a low jab, right? Remember, they were the teachers of the day, right? You being teachers, you know the law. You know what it is that I desire, and yet you judge and hate on these tax collectors. Right? Hosea saying the same thing, I desire loyalty and not sacrifice. Really, he was saying, look, you may know what you know, but you have no idea what I'm here about. You think that you know the law, have the right, and you think you're righteous to be able to judge these tax collectors? Well, what I desire from you is actually not judgment, but mercy for those who you deem unworthy to be loved, right? That is basically the fulfillment of the New Testament of this law. You may know what's right, but I desire for you to love these people. And the second reason I believe that Jesus quotes his verse is he's teaching them, not only is he jabbing at the Sadducees and the Pharisees, but he's teaching them how they needed to live. I'm here because I'm here for the sick. I'm here for those that are unlovable. And so those of you who know the law, really you should be doing this and not what you're doing. And so what can we really kind of glean from this? Well, I believe when we read this, we really need to take a second look and be very careful as Christians. How is it that we live our Christian life and how we live it out? I mean, to be honest, we live in a world that actually can be it's very easy for love to grow cold. I mean, this is going to sound like the dumbest sort of example, but for me, one of the hardest things is going through the Hong Kong MTR. I always get so frustrated, you know, the doors open and there's always a wave of people coming at you and I'm like getting hit, right, left, right, and center. If I'm with my pregnant wife and kid, right, nobody cares, right, they just kind of drive right through and I'm standing there and after a while I get so like annoyed that I just square my shoulder and I just, you know, linebacker through, right, just my excuse is I'm making space for Steph, right, but inside my head I know I'm just, you know, being a jeshik about it, right, and so But you know, that's not the way Jesus tells us to live. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is prophesying about the end days and how, you know, in the days of the Antichrist and in the end days, people are going to start being evil. And he talks and basically saying it's those whose love does not grow cold, whose love lasts until the end ages will be who, those are the people that will be saved. And so Jesus is really telling us that despite the difficult world that we live in, right, we need to love on these people. Right? And really, Lord, I repent, right? Some right afterwards, Lord, I'm such a jashik, right? Like, who am I to hate on these people? And I mean, that's one example. I mean, another one could be in the workplace, right? There are people that lie, steal, cheat, right? Their way to the top all the time. And, you know, I speak with a lot of bankers in this way. People that are after your clients, people that are after your P&Ls, right? People that are after your basically your very livelihood. Those are the exact people that Jesus are talking about. And yet Jesus is telling us, basically telling the Pharisees at the time, I love these people. In fact, I go out of my way to be with these people. And so as Christians, you know, as I would say this is actually one of the most difficult teachings for me personally in this way is basically Jesus saying, go and love and be with the very people who may take advantage of who you are. And may take advantage of your very livelihood. Now, obviously, in wisdom, not to, right, but not to let them do what they do, right, and to give them opportunity to do what they do, but to love on them, to eat with them, to spend time with them. Why? Because ultimately, right, the Lord didn't come to judge those who were lost. He came so that they can be saved. And so he asks us to do the very same thing. So, I mean, in this way, we need to be very careful. I mean, Pastor Mary yesterday talked about this too, right? Remember, she talked about the children, right? And blessed are the, let them come to me. And she talked about we need to be very careful about how we judge those that are around us, right? We need there may be people around us that we think are useless or we think are whatever certain things we think, but we need to be careful how we think of them because we are all children of God, and as children of God, we are all worthy. Right, because he's died for us. And so she asked us actually during the service, let's pray for somebody. God's going to put someone on our hearts who we've judged. And so we need to pray for them and to ask that God changes our hearts toward them, to see them as children of God. And so I think in the same way, we need to do this too. Right? Those that persecute us, those that take from us, those that run over us in those that really treat us badly, even in the places that, you know, they really shouldn't, we really need to have love towards them. But clearly, you know, we can't do this on our own, right? Again, we're not here for outward, you know, sort of a behavioral modification, but inward transformation. I think the only way we can really do this is to connect with God. The only way we can really do this is when he loves us and brings that sort of gentleness and compassion into our lives, remove the fear of being taken advantage of, right? And that ultimately we can give that sort of love to those around us, right? John 4:19, right? We love because he first loved us. And so how can we live out this life? Well, really, to be honest, I don't think we can, right? At least not outside the love of God. And so I'm going to ask Ernie to come up. And as Ernie leads us, why was Jesus so patient, even with those who were so evil, right, at the time, or considered evil? Right? 2 Peter chapter 3, 8 and 9, I think kind of summarizes this idea. For the Lord is not slow, as we make, some may count slowness. Let me find it. So I'll butcher the verse. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like a thousand years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Right? Ultimately, God asks us to be patient and loving with those that really don't deserve it around us. Not necessarily just because God wants us to suffer, but he's asking us to join in his mission for the lost. Right? That through our kindness and love towards them, that hopefully they will come into repentance. Right? Paul also talks about, right, it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. I believe it is through our kindness as Christians that those who are lost will see, you know, maybe I shouldn't be living this way. And maybe I need God. And so as Ernie leads us, let's really connect with God. Lord, how do I love those around me that really threaten my very life in the workplace? Help me, Lord. Sing.
How wide.
Continue to pray. Let's really ask God to fill us with His love. Fill us with the awe of Him that we may be able to do what He asks us to do. Go to our community focus. Let's really lift up those suffering from cancer and cancer-related infirmities. Let's really claim God's word and His healing. Let's pray for God's comfort and providence over them as well during this time. Let's pray. Pray for those in our community in need of healing, but also salvation as well. Let's really lift them up and ask God to do only what He can do, to open their hearts and to call them home. And so let's pray. Pray for those in our community suffering from non-cancer related infirmities. Let's really continue to lift them up and ask for God's healing. Ask that He'll just bring His hand of comfort and to remove whatever pain or whatever is going on in their lives. And so I pray for their families as well. Oftentimes quite difficult, right, to see a loved one go through these things. And so let's pray. Let's pray for those in our community looking for jobs. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for God's favor over them. Let's pray that also during this time that God prepares their hearts and minds for whatever mission field that He's called them to. So let's lift up. Go to our mission focus. Let's lift up China. Let's really pray that God continues just for spirit to be in that place and for many to come to Him. Let's pray for our Beijing plan. Let's pray for Pastor Hensu and also Chloe and Enoch. Let's lift up the Chong family and Matt and Nate's parents and Edie Clark and all the churches that are there. Let's really pray that God moves powerfully through our friends to bring God's glory to that nation. Let's lift up the board as well. Let's pray that God will just give them wisdom and just unity as they pray through issues of our church and leads us into whatever it is that God is calling us through at this time. Let's really pray for their families, pray for covering any sort of backlash. And so let's lift them up. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries, men's ministry, women's ministry, and also young adults. Let's lift up our leaders, Tyler, Pastor Mary, Lisa, Rebecca, Lishan, and also Pastor Ken. Let's really pray that through their leadership and through the ministry, the many young men and women will come and really love the Lord. Let's lift up our house churches as well for Causeway Bay, EastEnders, Island, New Conduits, and Brea and Lion Rock. Let's really pray for the leaders. Let's pray that tonight they'll have a great time leading. And let's really pray for their unity of fellowship and also for God to really show up amidst their fellowship as well. pray. Yeah, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, God, and we thank you, Lord, for the example of your son. God, we thank you that you call us, Lord, into your mission of redemption, God. And oftentimes a Christian life, Lord, really is not easy to live. And so in that way, Lord, help us, God, to love those who we deem unworthy, Lord, or even those that we think are don't deserve our love. But God, ultimately, Lord, fill us, God, in our hearts, God, so that we will not be driven by anxiety or fear, but instead, God, knowing that you take care of us, Lord, will be willing, God, to do what is right in your eyes, God, which is to find the lost and the sick and those that are seemingly so wrong in the wrong, God, and to bring them back to you. And so, God, I thank you, Lord, for my friends, God. I thank you, Lord, that you've placed them into places of influence, God. And I pray, God, for really for favor over their lives, God. When they speak, may people desire to listen. Will you give them even more opportunities, Lord, to be able to really assert that influence of Christ, Lord, in their lives. And so cover them in their families, cover them in the workplaces, Lord. Grant your favor over them, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. We bless you, Lord. Amen. Enjoy your time of prayer, and we'll see you guys back tomorrow.